Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We're officially in the business end of the AFL season, and after the top team Swans, it's a logjam, where just 3 games separate 2nd and 13th. So who makes the 8 and which teams miss out? Hello, I'm Andy Belez, and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Josh Barnes has done the sums, and he's predicted the remaining 7 rounds, and he'll join me coming up to chat the run home. And with Max gone from the Demons for at least a couple of weeks, Josh and I discussed who each of the teams who can still make the finals can least afford to lose in that run home. Here's Josh. And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, it's back to normal business because Josh Barnes is in the chair. G'day, Barnesy.
It's been a few weeks. I've pushed Macca out of the studio. I've taken over. Good to be back, Andy.
He was hard to get out of the chair. he's done a great job filling, you know, all spots over the last 2 or 3 weeks along with Ralphie. But, Josh, it's the business end of the footy season. We're into July. August is the last month. Then it's finals. It's hard to think. I can't believe that it feels like it's only just started. But you've worked on the run home. There's not that many rounds to go. Who makes the 8? Because it's such a tight, particularly, you know, from pick from 4 to 10, it's pretty tight at the moment.
Yeah, extremely tight. It's the tightest ladder I can remember in terms of just the whole middle of it is neck and neck. And even if you have a good win on the weekend, sometimes it doesn't help you that much by the end of the weekend. You're still almost in the same spot. So we've got 7 rounds left. That's, 63 games I've gone through and predicted them all, which means I'll be 100% right on all of them, Andy. Don't worry about that. There won't be any mistakes when we look back on it in 7 weeks' time.
Well, you're a footy expert, and footy experts never get called up on their mistakes. It's, you know, as soon as you can say this team's going to win the flag, and when they don't even make the 8, no one ever comes back to you. So don't even worry about it, Josh.
But if they do win the flag, we'll let everybody know, of course.
Absolutely. So I'm assuming the top, at least to the top two, Sydney and Carlton stay the same.
Yeah, Sydney and Carlton stay the same. Sydney 1, Carlton 2, I don't think any surprises there. But then it gets interesting for me from there. On my predictions, I have Geelong sitting in third. They have quite a soft run home, Geelong. If they can beat Collingwood on Friday night, which they probably should given Collingwood's injuries and how Geelong's travelling, then they have a very clean run from there for a few weeks. So I've got them finishing third, which is a bit of a surprise from where they were maybe 2 weeks ago. Brisbane fourth on percentage over Essendon, who's fifth. Then Fremantle sitting sixth, and then really you throw a blanket on the rest. GWS in seventh and Collingwood in eighth with just 12 wins. 12 wins hasn't been anywhere near enough in recent years, but Collingwood have the 2 draws, so essentially they've got 13 wins and they just sneak in. Bad luck for Bulldogs, Gold Coast, Port Adelaide, Hawthorn, Melbourne supporters.
It's interesting that, you know, even when you say that, those last 4 teams that you mentioned, you've got them finishing on the same points, except for Melbourne, which you know, even though they're now only percentage out of the 8, obviously the Max Gawn injury does put a huge dent in their next sort of 7 weeks and run to the finals. It's going to be one of those years that almost anyone can win the flag. If you make the 8, if you can sneak into the 8, you've got a chance.
Yeah, and I've had a look through to the last couple of weeks, and some of the fixtures we've got in the final fortnight, Andy, are just huge, which we'll be talking about, I'm sure, in a month's time. But around 23, you've got Essendon, Sydney, Gold Coast, Melbourne, GWS, Fremantle, Collingwood, Brisbane, Port, Adelaide. So a showdown there. I mean, Adelaide's not in the mix, but showdown, you never know. Around 24, Brisbane, Essendon, that'll be for a top 4 spot. Melbourne v Collingwood, that'll potentially be for a top 8 spot. Bulldogs v Giants, again, could be to make the 8, and Fremantle versus Port as well, could be the same. So the final fortnight, we talk about 8-point games, but the final fortnight is shaping up to be the best potentially we've ever seen.
Well, and even, you know, you look at every team, there are softer runs home. You know, Hawthorn's got a slightly softer run home, but you look at the Bombers last 4 weeks, you know, they play Frio, they play the Suns, who could be anyone. Obviously, they're playing in Melbourne, so it's probably a bit more. Then they play the Swans and the Lions at the Gabba. You know, their last month, you know, it could be 4 wins, but it could be 4 losses as well. So they're sort of, There's no easy games at the moment.
Yeah, that's the thing. And those games just flip around. As I said, Melbourne Collingwood in the last round, that's potentially, it could be either a blockbuster game. It could be that Sunday afternoon like Collingwood Carlton a few years ago where we know exactly what's on the line. And that could be win you're in, lose you're out. I mean, those are two clubs that have both won flags in the past 3 years, probably both entered this season thinking if things go right, we'll win the flag. And only one of them, I think, is probably going to make the eight from here. Maybe neither of them do. It's just so, it's so tight down there.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? They're currently, you know, one, both out of the eight on percentage, with teams breathing down their necks. Melbourne is, you know, it's been close to my heart, but it's an interesting one. You know, after a pretty strong win against West Coast on the weekend, I think Melbourne fans were sort of thinking maybe we're seeing something. Maybe we've, you know, you see a Windsor and a Rivers playing very well, Gawn, you know, doing what he does in the ruck. Then he goes down with an injury, and it gets to a point where now, of the seven, maybe three or four go the opposite way to what people were originally predicting, and then they fall out of the eight because it is so close.
Yeah, and they're a poster child for the topsy-turvy nature of this run home. So their final 7 weeks is Essendon, Fremantle, GWS, Western Bulldogs, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast, Collingwood. All those teams are thinking they can make the eight right now.
Yeah.
How many times can you tip them in that stretch? It's very, very hard. Obviously, with Gawn out, you find it very hard to tip them in the next 2 weeks at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't really get that much easier from there. So they have sort of the biggest swinging nature, I think, of the final seven rounds in terms of every single week they're playing a team that thinks it should be in the eight. So it's going to be very tough. They can make it, Andy, but it's very, very tough.
Oh, certainly. I've got all faith in Tom Fulton, to be honest. I think he could be an All-Australian ruckman with just seven games.
Yeah, why not?
Footy. But also it means that for footy fans, you know, you do support your team, but there are nine games over a weekend. It means that almost every game has something in it. We've had seasons where the eight, or at least the top six, has been set at this time, by this stage in the year. And some games, half the games. I was talking to Sam Landsberger earlier in the season on the Herald Sun Footy podcast, and he was predicting that, you know, the way that it was at the time, there was some particularly uncompetitive games, uncompetitive teams. You know, he was predicting that maybe, you know, half or more games by this time of the year would be irrelevant. But it's gone completely the opposite way. And you know, even if teams are playing against Richmond or against North or against West Coast, there is percentage on the line and there are wins on the line to bank just to get your foot up onto those bottom rungs.
Yeah, I mean, the AFL would like those bottom teams to be more competitive than they are, I'm sure, but I don't think they can expect more than the top 13 teams to be right in the mix. And according to at least my calculations, well, they will stay right in the mix until the last fortnight. They will still be in striking distance going into the final round, most of those sides. So that's exactly what they would have been hoping for. And even down the bottom, we still will see some jostling. I think Richmond plays North Melbourne later on in a few weeks. North Melbourne plays both Richmond and West Coast in the run home. West Coast, as I said, play North Melbourne. So those three are going to be shifting around for those bottom spots. So there is even games down there that will be, I'm sure, of interest. Well, they'll always be of interest to me, Andy, but even to you as well.
Well, they don't feature Melbourne, so there's not a whole lot of interest. Hey, Barnsley, we're going to take a break because we did mention Max Gawn just a little while ago, and I reckon of all the 18 teams, Melbourne losing Max Gawn could be the loss of the most important player to a team. So for 2 weeks at the least, by the looks of things, the Demons are really under the pump. But we're going to go through the top 10 teams and have a bit of a chat about who their most important player, who the player that they would least like to lose. You're listening to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
You're back here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belairs. I'm joined by Josh Barnes. And Josh, you know, let's look at the top 10 teams from Sydney down to the Western Bulldogs. Because as I said before the break, as a Melbourne supporter, but also as a footy fan, Melbourne losing Max Gawn on the weekend to, what did you say it was? It was a...
It is a crack to the base of the fibula. So right at the bottom of his leg bone.
Ouch. But that could be, of all the teams, Max Gawn could be the most important player to Melbourne. I think that's pretty obvious, particularly without Christian Petrarca in the team.
Well, and to me, Andy, because heading into the final games of the weekend, I had him as my captain in my Supercoach team playing against Lauren Wood here in the office. I thought if he scores 140, I think I win. And he's on 100 at three-quarter time, and I'm thinking, here we go, big last quarter, I'm home and hosed. And now I'm as despairing as you, Andy.
No, you're not.
Well, almost.
No, you're not.
Well, kind of.
Anyway, that's okay. There's a super coach is, you know, that's something that we can...
Am I on the wrong podcast?
Yeah, go and talk to Al Payton and Max Steenkamp. So Gawn, as important to Melbourne as any player is to any team, but Melbourne lose him, and they're under the pump. We had a look at the top 10. I reckon we start with Sydney at the top. They're a difficult one because they are so even across the board.
Yeah. We had this discussion before we went on air, Andy, how it is quite tough to pick the most important player for Sydney, and that is why they are so good, I think. That midfield, their best players really are Gould and Heaney and Warner in that midfield. But because they have the cover, would they miss one? We might find out this week if Isaac Heaney is not playing this week. We'll find out later on. But whether they miss those guys, you think it's Chad Warner?
I think it's Chad Warner for his explosive ability and his long kicking. Those goals that he kicked on the weekend from outside 50 are pretty incredible. I think maybe a Goulden and a Heaney, as you said, we'll see possibly with Heaney, but like a James Jordan can provide some cover there. Mm. A Taylor Adams can provide some cover there.
There's no shortage of depth. I mean, Luke Park hasn't been playing all year. Callum Mills is still to come back, so they're fine in that midfield. I think maybe a sort of left field one perhaps is Tom McCartan. They're obviously a bit short on numbers back there. Joel Hamling hasn't played at all. One of their recruits from the offseason, they haven't required him, and he's been playing forward in the VFL lately. So they haven't really had to call on much defensive tall timber support. But if he went down, he's the one that plays on the big forwards. I think they would have to shuffle things around a little bit there.
And there's always Brody Grundy.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a pure ruck, obvious ruck fill for Grundy. So, you know, maybe... From being left out of Melbourne's final side last year to being the most important player on Sydney's list.
He'd be pretty handy right now in Melbourne, wouldn't he?
Yeah, we don't mention that. We don't mention Brody. Let's move on to Carlton. As you said, Jacob Wiedering, when they lost Jacob Wiedering on the weekend, they seemed to fall in a bit of a hole. So is Jacob Wiedering the most important player for Carlton?
I think so. He's not their best player. He's an absolute star without doubt, but I think it's pretty clear that when he's out their back line, they looked a bit lost on the weekend, sort of running to the wrong spots. They're obviously, he plays on usually the big hulking forward, takes them out of the game and rebounds the other way. I think he's clearly the one they could afford to lose the least. I mean, obviously, Patrick Cripps and Sam Walsh are superstars in the midfield. Charlie Kurno, Harry Mackay are excellent players. But I think because they have sort of their own sidekicks, they can sort of marshal that. But Jacob Wiedering really stands on his own as a tall defender back there. Brody Kemp's been playing all year back there, but he's still learning, I think, in the role. Jordan Boyd does a decent job as sort of a pseudo third tall. But without Wiedering, they would be calling on Caleb Marchbank, and it would be quite a big hole, I think, back there.
Absolutely. Frio is another one that doesn't seem to have an obvious most important. I reckon Luke Jackson will go close just because of the X factor that he provides. Yeah. You know, when Darcy goes down, Jackson can provide the cover, but also, you know, when they're in there rucking in tandem, Jackson can do things that there aren't many other players in the league can do.
Yeah, I like it. I think he's their point of difference, really. He floats forward, kicks a goal or two a game, obviously provides something in the centre bounces around Sean Darcy. So he's so unique that he is literally irreplaceable, I think.
Mm. The Bombers, Zach Merritt kind of has to be it, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, how good was his game on Friday night? That I think it was rated by Chami Doe as the second best game of the season. Wow. And I think it was as good a performance as you can have. His numbers weren't eye-boggling or anything. He didn't have 45 touches. I think he ended with about 30, but they were just so pure and clean. And the way he's playing at the moment is he's doing that offensive stuff as good as he ever has, but his defensive desperation and pressure was incredible, I thought, against Collingwood. That's something that hasn't always been a standout part of his game, but I noticed Brad Scott said before the match that he's the perfect captain because he leads by example, and at the moment he's got to be right up there in the conversation for all Australian captains. So if you lost him, their midfield, I think they have quite a good depth there, Essendon, at the moment, but losing him, they would lose just so much on field that I think he would be their number one man.
Yeah, and as you said, the leadership as well. I think a lot to be said for the other players feeling probably safer and more comfortable with their leader in the team. The Cats, danger?
Yeah, I think with Tom Hawkins out, I think Jeremy Cameron becomes their most important player just because he's playing now out of full forward. He's had 19 shots a goal in the last 3 weeks and he hasn't kicked straight. He usually does, Jeremy. So if he continues that playing as a deep forward, he's going to be rocketing up the Collingwood medal chart. So I think with Hawkins away at the moment, he's their most important player. But when Hawkins is back, I think Dangerfield this year has proven to be potentially still one of their most important players just because without him in there, they're relying on a lot of smaller bodies. There's no explosion out of the middle without him. He's such a sort of added benefit to them even at his age. And that's why they moved Tom Stewart in the middle recently, I think, it was just to have a big body around the ball, someone who's a bit of an explosive athlete because they're lacking that. So I think between those two, they're the most important players, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, you're probably right. For Port, I've gone with Connor Rozee. I think, you know, as a captain, and I mean, we've gone captains in the last three, but, you know, you could make an argument for Zach Butters possibly, but I think Connor Rozee is sort of, you know, he is their silk. You know, when he's in the team, they seem to be far better for it.
Yeah, maybe we will see again without Butters one of these days because surely he's going to get suspended eventually, but we'll wait and see on that.
He mightn't be able to afford the petrol deal of the game with all the fines that he's racking up.
Hi, I'm Roe Webster, former Australian water polo player and three-time Olympian. The countdown to the Paris 2024 Olympics is on. Come with me behind the scenes as we meet Australia's greatest athletes, some of whom are preparing to bring their Olympic dreams to life in Paris and some who've done it all before.
I find myself searching for someone to tell me I can't do something because I will show them that I can.
What it would take for me to find focus, what it would take for me to be aggressive.
Search En Route to Paris, that's on with an E, in your favourite podcast app, and make sure you follow the podcast so you don't miss a single thing.
The Lions, who have you gone with?
I reckon it's still Harris Andrews for them. Just he's very similar to Jacob Weeder in that he has decent support back there, but he marshals so much in the air, controls positioning, particularly at the Gabba. He stands in the right spots almost all the time. So I think he's the man. I think Joe Danaher is a bit underrated at this aspect of it because he does play that second ruck. He is a target up forward for them. And Eric Hipwood can fly at the ball, but they don't really have any other pack marking sort of options. So he's the one they're always kicking to down the line. So
Lachie Neale?
Yeah, I think Lachie Neale, given the cover in the midfield, they could cover him for a couple of games.
Yeah,
like a few of these guys with these teams.
You wouldn't want to go into grand final without him, but he's for a couple of weeks, absolutely.
They could manage.
GWS is another interesting one. They don't seem to have an obvious out, but I want to nominate Kieran Briggs because I think he's one of the better stories of the AFL. He gets a bit lost being an interstate team and particularly in Western Sydney, but what he's been able to bring and the way he's been able to develop as a ruck, I think take him out of the team, there would be a pretty big hole left at GWS.
Yeah, literally a big hole. I think he's only been okay this year, I think, Briggs. I think we all expected him to continue to rise like he did in the back half of last year, and he's been solid, but on the weekend he took down Tom De Koning, really, didn't he? Battered and he bruised him, which is exactly what you need to do against De Koning, and he was outstanding. I think Jesse Hogan's another nomination for this spot. Yep. They have some good cover up forward, but when he plays well, they're just a different team, GWS. So
I'd love to come back to Melbourne. I love watching Jesse Hogan play. I think he's as much of an old fashioned forward as you get these days in the AFL. It's great to see him playing well, and it'd be great to see him if the D's can't make the eight, maybe I'll be on the charcoal and ochre, whatever they colours are. The Pies, Darcy Moore.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about Darcy Moore the last few weeks. His form hasn't been, well, even Craig McRae admitted his form hasn't been where it probably should be, but without Nathan Murphy back there now, if you took Darcy Moore out, they'd be in all sorts. Charlie Dean and Billy Frampton are just holding on, I think, back there at the moment. They have so many injuries, Collingwood. They've really done well, I think, to still be in the finals hunt at this stage. And if you lost Darcy Moore, then their structure would fall apart almost completely, I think. Another one, I guess, would be Nick Dacos, whether if you took him out, as Essendon did pretty well on the weekend, they really muted his impact. And without that impact, Collingwood really sort of faded in the second half of that game. So given their sort of struggles through the midfield and the forward half, without the class of Dacos getting 35 touches there, they can be in trouble.
Absolutely. Melbourne, we mentioned Max Gawn, it's an obvious. And the Dogs, well, Bont is the obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be. He plays everywhere at the moment. He's the best player in every position, essentially. So
he's incredible.
You can't go past him.
Absolutely. Well, we've just solved the woes of the football world.
We're knocking on wood in here, Andy, in this studio, so that none of those other guys get injured. Yeah. We've had enough with Max Gawn.
Absolutely. Josh Barnes, thanks for your time.
We'll talk to you next time, Andy. Sounds good.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and my thanks to Josh Barnes for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for all the trade buzz from a huge money ball on Wednesday morning, Mick McGowan's chat with Josh Dacos on Friday, all the game day coverage over the weekend, and then, as always, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.